Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Hello, you're listening to Weird Tales and the Unexplainable. In particular, this is a Weird Tales Revisited episode. So this is Bob Shoy, and with me as always for these...
Rick Dove.
Here is Mr. Rick Dove. How you doing, Rick?
Very good, very good.
So for this one, I was sort of digging through old topics that had come up on the show, and I was trying to think of one that is really, we only really scratched the surface of. And it was way back on episode one. I think we spoke about it for a total of like 3 minutes. And that is the black-eyed children, black-eyed kids, the children, however you want to call them. I didn't know if you were aware of these guys before this, Rick.
To be honest, it was after I met you and I started listening back to your podcast, that was the first time I come across the black-eyed children.
Mm-hmm.
Never heard of them before then. It's one of those ones that's more of a recent myth.
So what I've got here is the article from the first time I ever, we did Weird Tales, and it's on Viral Nova. Like these old listicle websites, I always think, oh, that's not going to be there anymore, but it's still here.
Wow.
Clogging up the internet. And it's like this whole phenomena of the black-eyed children originates from one man, basically.
Mr. Brian Bethel.
Yeah, Brian Bethel. And I thought that he was just like one of many who had seen them over the years, but it really feels like he started this.
100%. Everything that I've managed to find on it points to Brian Bethel, apart from one thing, which I'll touch on a little bit later. It seems to predate him, but yeah, we'll cover that in a bit.
Well, I've got here that the stories started, people say that they started in the 1980s.
Oh, okay.
But Bethel's account wasn't until 1996.
Mm.
So I don't know if that's people like sort of getting his myth and adding a little bit more history to it. Like, no, he wasn't the first. He's been going on since the 80s, man, or whatever. Or even he might have said, no, this is based on other things other people have said. But I've got here that these stories, people say, originate around the 80s, but his account was 1996. So what I've got here, I've just got the first, just to recap what we said on Weird Tales episode one. So what I read from Viral Nova on that website. One night in the 90s, journalist Brian Bethel was parked outside of a movie theater when he was approached by two children. The kids were around 10 years of age, but Bethel somehow experienced a fear unlike any other in their presence. The children said they wanted to see a particular movie, but they left their money at home. They asked Bethel if they could have a ride home. Still gripped with fear, he refused and started his car. The kids' eyes turned jet black. They told him that they couldn't get in his car unless he invited them, but Brian drove away. He wrote about the experience in an online blog, and ever since, people from all over the world have shared their experiences with the children.
It's an interesting one, because it takes those classic creepy elements of take a child, make it weird. There's elements of the vampire as well, must be invited in. And obviously the black eyes is pretty creepy. But I think that the cruelest element of his story is that he wouldn't give these kids $150 to go and see Mortal Kombat, which is apparently what they wanted to go and see.
That's what they were going to see.
Those kids missed out.
Oh, wow. What classic. A fun movie.
Mortal Kombat.
You've got
a soundtrack as well.
Oh, yeah. Beautiful.
Yeah.
Child of the 90s, my friend.
Mm-hmm. I was there was a guy who I've met in real life, but he's another podcaster, and he was saying about how he was so pumped for Mortal Kombat, the movie, when it came out, that and like the music was like on the radio and stuff, that when he saw the trailer on TV one time as a kid, he just ran out in the street and stood in the middle of the gym, Mortal Kombat! I thought it was the coolest thing in the world.
Oh, I would love to have a video of that. That's amazing. Yeah. What a guy.
Mm. So Mortal Kombat. Great film.
Let's talk about that instead.
Yeah, exactly. So the thing that I often forget is that, like you say, these guys have to be invited in. That's like a vampiric element. And some of these, it's like, I forget that their eyes turn black in some of these accounts. In a lot of them, it's just like their kids with black eyes. But in that one and some others, it's like, oh, they're talking to him and their eyes turn black.
There's a few different elements that I've read. Is some like where the kids have their heads down when they're talking and then they look up to reveal it, or you know, they happen to have long hair that just goes down by their eyes.
Yeah, or like a hood over as well.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And they happen to look up. Other people have said that they aren't wearing clothes that are appropriate for the period, or there's one story I read where they said they smell a strong smell of mold around the kids. So all these little embellishments. But one of the interesting things about the Bethel story that I thought was quite interesting is the kids apparently said to him when he refused to let them in his car, "We won't hurt you. You have to let us in. We don't have a gun."
Okay.
It just seems like weird thing for some kids to say.
Yeah. Specifically, we don't have a gun. Mm. We also don't have any number of things. We don't have money for a movie ticket. But Brian Bethel, he was a Texas reporter. Mm. And a lot of people think that, like we said, he's the originator of these stories, although, like I said, some people say they date back to the 1980s. I don't know where that comes from, they date back to the 1980s, because every time that I've read that, I'm like, can I have an example of that, please? And I can't find one.
Well, the one that I found, this is the thing I said I was going to touch on a bit later, but I might as well talk about it now.
Yeah, go for it.
So a lot of these black-eyed children stories that I've found come from America. It seems to be a legend that is rooted within America. It's the origin of it and where most of the stories I've read come from. I've not been able to find any other examples around the world apart from one in England.
Is this in Staffordshire?
Cannock Chase in Staffordshire,
yeah,
yes.
Yeah, so I read a little bit of this myself. Go on.
Yeah. So in 2014, there was a group who run a show called The Haunted Finders. Never seen them. You can probably find it somewhere on the History Channel these days.
Never heard of that.
But no, nor have I. No. And if anyone was good at it, I thought it would have been you.
No.
But they went and explored Cannock Chase because it's a notoriously haunted area. There's lots of UFO sightings there, apparently werewolves, something called the Pig Man, which is a man with the head of a pig who runs around there. But apparently, this was in 2014, they said 30 years ago, there had been sightings of a black-eyed child.
Mm.
And so they went out into this woodland late at night. They was running around with the camera and they caught something in the background. It was just something moving. Allegedly, you see a human-shaped figure sneaking around, but it could just as easily be an animal or a deer. There is some footage out there. It's in the depths of YouTube somewhere. I personally didn't find it particularly compelling myself, but there's been other reports in the area of people seeing black-eyed children. And there's actually a very famous video as well that you can 100% find on YouTube. It's of a drone that's flying around Cannock Chase, and it comes panning in over a field. And the camera turns because it spots something, and it appears to be someone wearing white, and they claim it's a black-eyed child. However, apparently, it's a hoax video.
Oh.
Yeah, and you can't even see the face in it anyway, so where they got black-eyed child from this blurry video of someone standing
at
the edge of the forest is
weird.
That's
the thing, a lot of it is just like, it's a figure, and they're like, it's a black-eyed kid. Yeah. Based on what? You can barely see the outline, let alone its eyes.
Yeah, yeah. And this is the problem I've had with a lot of the so-called evidence that's out there. It's very easy to take a picture of a kid in a creepy location, or someone standing in a creepy location and go, that's a black-eyed kid.
Yeah, for sure. You put a young kid in like a pulled down hood so their eyes are like shadowed and put them in a weird place and you've got your own little hoax picture straight away.
That's it. Doesn't take much.
I did read about the Cannock Chase stuff. Mm. So the Daily Star, reputable newspaper in the
now
UK.
Now we're talking.
They love the black-eyed kids.
They do.
Black-eyed kids has come up on the Daily Star Well, I've got reports here, 2014 story, 2016, 2017, 18, one from this year.
Wow.
I read loads. I read more Daily Star than I ever have in my life researching for this.
You poor bastard.
But in 2014, so this must have been the guys that you were talking about, because it says they ran a story in 2014. The headline was Ghost Terror. Black-eyed child spotted in UK for the first time in 30 years. So that is the 1980s thing they're talking about.
Mm.
So there was a guy called Lee Brickley. He runs a blog called Paranormal Canuck. And there's a woman, she contacted him to tell him of her experience. So I've got an account of that here. So she said, around 2 months ago, my daughter and I were walking through Birches Valley, an area well known for its spectral sightings, when we heard the screams of a young child. I couldn't tell if it was a boy or a girl, but they definitely seemed in distress and sounded very close to us, so we instantly started running towards the noise. We couldn't find the child anywhere and so stopped to catch our breath. That's when I turned round and saw a girl stood behind me, no more than 10 years old, with her hands over her eyes. She then put her arms down by her side and opened her eyes, which is when I saw that they were completely black, no iris, no white, nothing. I jumped back and grabbed my daughter. When I looked again, the child was gone. So she obviously, with that story, she went straight to the head of Paranormal Canuck.
As you do.
The man who knows about this stuff, Mr. Lee Brickley. And then he sort of posted about this. Daily Star liked this story. They got involved.
Mm.
And then he shared with the Daily Star his own story as well, which was actually his aunt's encounter, which is the thing that got him interested in the black-eyed kids.
Okay.
In the first place. So this is Lee Brickley, and he said, in the summer of 1982, my aunt was 18 years old, and she and her friends would often meet on Canuck Chase in the evening time, probably in much the same way that many teenagers still do today. One evening, just before dark, she heard a little girl frantically shouting for help. Rushing to locate the sound, she stumbled upon a dirt track and caught sight of the girl, about 6 years old, running in the opposite direction. When my aunt caught up, the girl turned round and looked into her eyes and then ran off into the dark woodland. Her eyes had been completely black, with no trace of white. There was a police search, but to no avail. At the time, no one had any reason to believe anything paranormal was going on. The girl certainly appeared to be of flesh and blood.
Hmm. Now, you see, that's interesting. Both of those stories massively differ from the American ones, where it's like they are approached when they're in a vehicle or at their home and demanding to be let in. This just seems like a sighting, and they disappear.
Yeah, and obviously, often in the American ones as well, it's often loads of reports of hitchhiking. It's kids hitchhiking and looking for a lift, like flagging a car down, can we come in, that stuff.
Yeah.
So these are a bit different, but they still have the same characteristics.
Mm.
Kids, the characteristics, age 6 to 16, pale skin, black eyes. But yeah, all around Canuck Chase. And after this report was in the Daily Star, so you got this woman telling of her experience, and then Lee Brickley talking about his aunt's experience and all that stuff. There was loads of people contacting the Daily Star with their own sightings as well. So it sort of sparked a sort of influx of people coming forward with their black-eyed children sightings in the UK, especially around that area.
Mm. But then you sort of take a step back and you realise what sort of people read the Daily Star.
Exactly. Exactly my thought.
Yeah.
And people love to jump on a bandwagon. Oh, yeah, I've seen something like that, yeah.
Yeah. And some of those ones are so easy to make up as well, isn't it? Yeah. Yeah. Much like it's so easy to fabricate any evidence of or photos, it's very easy to just make up a story.
And it's very easy to, like, your memory to be influenced by what's going on in the media. So anytime you've seen a child in a weird place, you can intentionally or just accidentally fabricate that to be like, oh, actually, I think it did have black eyes.
Yeah.
100%. Oh, and it was way weirder than I actually, now I think back on it, I think that was a bit weirder than I thought at the time. And then you wrap yourself up in the sort of drama.
Mm-hmm. When I was doing my research on it, there was a YouTube channel that kept on coming up called Fantastic Daily. Now, this guy was interesting, and I watched some of his videos and did a little bit of research on him. And he had one video on there, which was probably his most popular. So he claimed to have recorded video of Black Eyed Kids. And in his video, in one of his videos, he's talking about how he's found a frequency that can summon Black Eyed Kids if played.
I love that.
All right. Okay. So he sets up a little experiment, and he has a laptop set up with its camera ready to roll, pointing out of a window and playing this tone over and over one night. On the first night, absolutely nothing happened. On the second night, his outside light come on with a motion sensor, but there was nothing to be seen. On nights three and four, there was absolutely nothing again when he checked in the morning. But on night five, in the early hours of the morning, he captures an image of someone just standing there, staring into the window. Once again, it's from a webcam that's inside a house pointing out onto a darkened porch. And there is a figure definitely there staring in. Can't tell it's a black-eyed kid, but that's what he was claiming it was.
Right.
He then claims that he woke up because he heard sounds outside, and you get some shaky cam video of him with his phone running around checking, but he didn't see anything.
Right.
Now, the reason I brought this one up and I wanted to talk to your listeners about it, because here comes the disappointment. Fantastic Daily is a fictional channel. He's a creepypasta video maker, unfortunately.
That's the thing with these black-eyed kid stories. I think a lot of it comes down to a lot of people read these creepypasta stories or watch these YouTube things, and they don't necessarily instantly know that it is fictional.
Yeah.
Just it's easy to fall for it. I've read stories and been like, whoa, that's a cool story for Weird Tales. Yeah. When I dig in, I'm like, this is fictional.
Yeah.
And the same with you with them videos. It's really easy to fall into that thing. And then because people then don't do their research and find out that it's fictional, they believe it, gets passed on. That's the whole sort of idea of creepypasta, I think, to spread these legends.
Oh, 100%.
So you lose the source.
But I wanted to put it out there just in case anyone listening to this decided to go and do some research and came across it, because it's quite a prominent name in the field. But then you do that little bit more research and you'll find about a year ago the channel went dead. And there's a few interviews with the guy who ran the channel where he states obviously it is all made up.
Oh, okay. Oh, well. I've got more Daily Star reports.
Oh, please do. Go for it.
So this is 2 years after the one I said about before. This headline is, Mum panics as chilling black-eyed child ghost stalks her in horror photo.
Ooh.
So many words in that headline. Yeah, I know. Panic, chilling, horror, stalk. So this was Hannah Butler, and she said that she was stalked by the ghost of a girl in the woods. So I don't know how much of a stalking it is when she was on a ghost walk looking for ghosts. But anyway, she was on a ghost walk looking for ghosts. And this actually happened in 2013.
Okay.
So she didn't come forward with it. Maybe she was too scared. She didn't come forward to it till 2016, which is when it was reported. Slow news week, maybe. But she said that the ghost had said that... the guide had said that a ghost of an orphaned girl had been spotted many times by a particular tree when they're on their ghost walk in these apparently haunted woods. So people are there taking pictures of the surrounding area, seeing if anything comes up. And she took a few pictures of this tree. Now, most of these pictures just came up as a picture of a tree. One of them had what she claimed is the ghost of the orphaned girl in the picture, which is what this headline was about. But I've got a picture here, Rick, which I'm going to show you.
Okay.
Which is what she took. And it is quite good. The ghost girl is outlined in yellow, just in case you can't see her.
Okay.
Yeah?
Interesting.
So it's like a figure with long black hair and white robes, kind of a white face. I guess you could say that she's got black eyes if you look right in there.
Yeah, I can kind of see it. Yeah.
Like head down by a tree. You can see the flash of the camera. I don't think it's a faked picture.
Nor do I. No, it looks like a certainly real picture, but very grainy.
Yes.
The face doesn't look very face-like. It could be a carrier bag caught in a tree and good old pareidolia at work.
Exactly that. So it could be like branches in a certain way, carrier bag, you know, reflection of different people taking photographs there. So flashes, different things reflecting. Mm. It does look like the outline. You could easily see, without anyone drawing a circle around it, if you showed me that picture and said, what do you see? I'd say, well, it looks like a girl there, but... not necessarily the case. Creepy picture, good picture. I will post it alongside this episode, but I don't know. She said that she was like terrified afterwards and all this stuff, and she kept crying every time she thought of the picture, and long time to get over. But you know, your emotions do get, they do run away with you, especially when you're on a ghost walk.
Yeah.
Like, I've been on a ghost walk and they start out like kind of fun if it's a good one, get a good guide. And then by the end of it, you're like, ooh, we're getting into this a little bit. And you've got that creepy feeling.
Mm-hmm. 100%. Yeah.
I went on one where I nearly fainted, actually.
Really? Wow.
Yeah, because he kept talking about people have fainted on this tour. People have fainted. And the idea was getting into my head so much that it was making me feel really faint.
Yeah.
And he kept taking us through, because we was going underground. It was in Edinburgh, and he was taking us to the underground and then the overground and through these different tunnels. And because we were going underneath pubs and all sorts of stuff, the temperature kept changing like rapidly. So I was getting really cold outside, then going through these heated bits, then cold and hot. And it was making me kind of dizzy, just the temperature changes. And then he kept saying about like all the stuff that had happened in the cellar, you know, makeshift abortions and things like that.
Wow.
And then he was talking about people fainting, overcome with a feeling of faint. And I was like getting really, because I was getting thinking of faint and all the temperature, and it was dark in there. And I'm slightly claustrophobic, and we were in a cellar.
So sensory overload.
Yeah, it was a little bit that, like, he turned out all the lights as well. It was just just stand in the dark for a moment. And just during that moment, I was like, I do feel faint. I held it together because I'm rational, and I was like, I know why I feel faint.
Yeah.
But I'm like, I know exactly why people have fainted here. It's not because the ghost, it's because the sensory overload.
That's it, yeah.
So you can see just based on that why, you know, talking about these ghost children, getting that picture with something that looks iffy in it would cause her to be like upset in the days after this. But there we go. Daily Star at it again.
So another little story that I found, I've found a list of 16 of them on a website called Thought Catalog. So you can Google that. If you Google Thought Catalog Black Eyed Children, it's the first hit that comes up. But if you don't mind, I'll regale you with one of the tales that I found.
Yeah, go for it. I didn't come across this.
So this one is titled, Every Story I've Read About Them is From Someone Who Already Knew About Them. So, listeners, sorry, it might be like playing the game. We've now inducted you into Black Eyed Kids, so apologies. But this person says, last night was like any other night. I was switching between listening to music and watching YouTube videos with one headphone in so I can hear my infant daughter if she cries. That way, my wife can get a full night's sleep. She works at 4 a.m. at the hospital every day. When I decide to go and lay down in the spare bed in the baby's room. Just as I dozed off, I heard a thumping coming from the front porch. Startled at first, I opened my eyes wide and scanned the room. Realizing it was most likely just my cat scratching himself on the front porch, I dozed back off. Then again, the thumping. Damn cat. I got out of bed to run him off the porch, only to see he wasn't there anymore. Now that I was up again, I wasn't the least bit tired. I figured I would just get some tea, check Facebook whilst I was up, and maybe finish the web series I was watching on YouTube. A few minutes into the video, I felt the sudden urge to look up at the kitchen window. There they were. The tops of two short-statured people's heads cresting the stairs just above my window frame. The people were just short enough to not see in the window, but I could see out. I heard no footsteps on my porch as my stomach turned, but the knock was a steady, hollow thump. The very same thump that I just blamed on my cat. Deciding it was best not to answer, I shut my laptop and crept by the door back to the baby's room. I assumed it was some of the people from the low-income houses across the road from me that were high or hiding from the cops, or maybe looking for my cousin who stays with me often, as he has many friends over there. The last thing I needed was trying to explain to two stoners that I was trying to sleep, even though it was 2 a.m. It wasn't until I got into my daughter's room that the creepiness set in. The thump had moved from the kitchen to the bedroom windows. Both windows. A room apart, thumping in perfect time. These stoners were going to wake up my daughter if I didn't run them off now. Pissed, I went out to the kitchen, unlocked and opened the door, ready to run around the side of the house and kick some little idiot's ass. It happened then. Standing there, looking up at me, were two 10 or 11 year old boys. Feeling the dread and the smell of mould almost made me vomit. The smaller of the two then spoke. May we use your telegraph? Huh? I just stared blankly at these boys, horrified of what I then realised. their eyes were pitch black. He then asked again to use my telegraph. There wasn't a sound to be heard, no crickets chirping, no dogs barking, no cars driving by, nothing. I tried to play it cool and ignore the fact that he didn't say telephone or phone or cell, anything that would have made sense of the situation. And I calmly replied, I don't have service at my house, sorry. The expressions on their face turned to rage as I finished my sentence. Swiftly, I shut the door and locked it as quickly as I could. I then stumbled back to protect my daughter. I picked her up from her crib and held her close. The fact that she didn't wake up freaked me out the most, but I managed to gather my senses enough to make sure she was still breathing and warm. Everything seemed okay with her. The thumping at the windows was back. I dropped to the floor as close to the wall as I could, and I held my little girl in my arms and wept like a child. I felt helpless and afraid. I lied there for what felt like hours, crying and shaking until I heard it, my wife's alarm clock. The thumping stopped the instant the alarm went off, and I crept into the master bedroom with the baby. "What's wrong with you?" my wife asked. "I just had a bad dream," is all I could mutter out. "Okay, well, give me the baby so I can feed her before work." I handed my wife the baby, and she fed her like any normal day. I turned on every light in the house and made coffee for her. For some reason, just having her awake calmed my nerves enough to pretend nothing happened. I walked her out to the car nervously with the baby in my arms. I asked her not to leave until I walked back into the house. She was put off by the request, but did so just to humour me. Once I was safely in the house, I locked the door again and sat in the house, horrified, until she got home. I insisted that we go to the next town over and stay the weekend at my brother's house, and I sit here horrified while she sleeps in the guest room with my daughter, wondering why they stopped when the alarm went off. I think I know the answer. I was aware of the black-eyed kids. She wasn't. Every story I've read about them is from someone who already knew about them. Maybe just the knowledge of them existing is the only reason they visit. I'm afraid, and I'm sorry.
So now he passed it on.
Yeah, it's like the ring.
Yeah, God, he put it on a audio medium that's going out to thousands of people now.
Well, maybe we can get some evidence. Spool up the cameras, people.
Yeah, let us know. Write in. I want to hear every experience you have. He's going to start a pandemic, but another one. This is the 2021 pandemic.
Just when you thought 2020 couldn't get any worse.
Yeah. No, you got like a whole new like slew of black-eyed children sightings.
See, I'd be very excited about that. I would love some evidence, because when we record these things, I feel like an asshole version of Mulder in that I believe the truth is out there, but there is just no fucking evidence. So I'm like the dickhead Scully just shrugging my shoulders going, pfft. I want to believe.
I feel like at the end of every one of these You Visited episodes, we sort of go through the explanations and we're always like, yeah, it's just bullshit.
I know. I've already disappointed. Maybe one of the listeners has got some topic that's going to really hook us in and make us go, holy shit, they've got a point. And I would love for nothing
more. I've got a good list of possible revisited episodes for the future. So maybe one of them's really we're going to believe in.
I hope so.
Good story, though.
Yeah, I like that one. It was good.
I really thought when you said he gave the baby to the mother, I thought you were going to say the mother looked out at the baby and its eyes were black.
Oh, that'd have been fucked up.
I was getting ready for the big twist. But that's an interesting idea. Like you said, that is like the ring. Like if you know about the black-eyed kids, then you're going to see them.
Mm. It is, yeah. But once again, I think it's just taking the story and putting their own little twist on it. It's some good creative writing, I must admit. Yeah. But to me, like the whole thing is kind of like the Slender Man. It's something that's been created in the modern age, has propagated with little tiny twists on the tale. It's easy to capture in the public imagination. You know, because it plays on those classic things like the body horror fears with the eyes, the fear of like you know, the corruption of children made evil, like the twins in The Shining, for example.
Yeah.
And just the fact that it's a kid, like you can manhandle an adult. If you had a black-eyed adult standing in front of you, you could punch them in the face and run away. But, you know, who's going to manhandle a kid? It's just super creepy.
Yeah, we talked about it on the show before. Like there's trying to work out like why seeing a kid somewhere is creepier, and it's all to do like fear of the unknown or unexpected. Like there's certain places you just don't expect to see a kid. I can almost expect to see another human being anywhere because I'm there. Like if I was in an abandoned warehouse and saw a human in there, it would be scary, but it would be way more scary if it was a kid.
Yeah.
Because, like, well, it makes sense that another human may be in here. I'm in here. They might be doing the same thing as me, exploring a weird space.
That's it.
But a kid there is weird.
It's completely out of place. Utterly out of context. It's
especially
bizarre.
Like the age range that, like, the average rate age seems to be like around 10, mm-hmm. people say. They say it's anywhere between 6 and 16, but a lot of the time it's like around 10 years old.
Yeah.
So seeing a 10-year-old anywhere at night is kind of creepy anyway.
It is, yeah.
And it works for me. Like, if I saw it, I find it creepy. But and I'm, like I said, I'm rational. It is creepy.
And I think it's, you know, why films like The Omen work. It's that presumed innocence of children. But in a different context, it doesn't take much to make them horribly menacing.
And, like, this is a thing where, like, if we do say it all starts with Brian Bethel and him thinking of the story and then it getting out on other people working off of this and it turning into some sort of, like, creepypasta story spreading, it really has worked. Like, it's really captured people's imaginations. Like, there was a comic book series called, like, The Black Eyed Kids or something. There's, I looked on IMDb, just so I always check if there's a film.
There's a movie.
There's a short film, yeah. Yep. It doesn't look great, but it exists.
Yeah, it's apparently a Kickstarter one, so I think it's a bit of an indie movie, but it's out
right,
there.
Okay. Exactly, it's been made. Like, the sort of notoriety of The Black Eyed Kids has spread enough for people to make these things that are based off of it. And there's been multiple books published of people's sightings, like collections of sightings. If you're on Amazon, there's loads of them on there. And the Reddit page, there's Reddit/ Black Eyed Kids Stories. There's loads of posts on there. But they're all sort of variations on similar sort of thing of, like, you know, they are creepypastas. If you go on Black Eyed Kids Stories, they all feel like creepypastas.
100%, yeah.
But then, you know, who am I to say it's not real? People who read the Daily Star...
This is it.
They're all about it.
Maybe we're wrong.
Like I said, they say there was that report from 2014, one from 2016. In 2017, people involved with the Daily Star and someone they had on attempted to contact black-eyed children via a Ouija board. I don't know why. I don't know why you'd use a Ouija board to contact black-eyed children, but they tried. I don't think it was successful. So why was it worth reporting? So
in
2018, they interviewed a ghost hunter all about what he believes the black-eyed children to be. People in America, this is like UK journalism. In 2018, there was a headline where they interviewed a ghost hunter, you know, self-proclaimed ghost hunter, just to say, what do you think about black-eyed kids? And that's a news story.
Mm-hmm. But in a horribly, horribly disreputable newspaper, may I add.
Oh, yeah. It's
we're not that backward over here.
No. If you really want a shock, look up. Let's just search like Daily Star. I guarantee any front page headline will like make your skeleton want to jump out of its skin.
Weren't they the one who run the thing about the guy's wife turned into a toffee crisp?
Yeah, I think that was. That sounds about right.
That's the level we're operating at here, people.
Yeah, a lot of weird news fodder from Daily Star. But they interviewed this ghost hunter about what he believed. He said that He, as an expert, believes it himself just to be folklore, urban legend, kind of what we've been saying here. And in 2020, this year in May, the Daily Star did their list of Britain's most bone-chilling paranormal legends.
Ooh.
And it made it onto there as well. Wow. So it's interesting that they consider it like a British paranormal legend, the Black Eyed Children, because I very much think of it as American. Like
100%, me too. Yeah, very American.
But they're just jumping on the Cannock Chase sighting. I just think the Cannock Chase thing is just a ghost.
It sounds like it, yeah.
It's a ghost kid that they're trying to jump on the notoriety of black-eyed children with to like tie it all in together.
Yeah, it hasn't got the same MO as the standard black-eyed kid story. But yeah, I think that, as you say, just trying to latch onto that story because it's kind of popular and known.
Yeah, exactly. You know, did a search. They saw a black-eyed kid ghost, did a search of black-eyed kids. Well, we could say this is the same thing. It makes it more of a, you know, hubbub.
That'll do, yeah.
Mm.
Yeah, I would murder for some evidence on this, seriously. Like, any of these topics that we talk about, anything that's got some meaty evidence, I would love it. You know, where it's not a grainy photo or a blurry picture of someone standing at the back. Just something that's going to make me go, huh.
I mean, of the ones we've done, this is probably the one with the least amount of evidence where I'm like, oh, maybe.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
this
yeah.
just feels like it feels like Slender Man. It feels like a story.
It does, yeah.
That people ran away with.
Yeah. And the things like the cattle mutilation, the last one we did, that was great. Because that's got some pictures and some interesting evidence that sits behind it.
Yeah, and that upset a few people, that one. Some Sorry. People, I know they couldn't listen to it.
It was grim. I'm vain enough to listen back to our recordings. And yeah, I was having a listen. And even on a re-listen, it was like, it's bleak. Yeah. Because for me, it brings back all those images that I saw. It's horrible.
I think the expression of coring, mate, that as soon as you heard that, they had to turn off gets me. Some yeah. of it. Yeah.
Once again, I'm so sorry.
No, they're switching this one off because it just reminded them. So did you find any other evidence?
No, just lots of stories that are very much of the same sort of thing. You know, people who are in their cars in the middle of nowhere, and they see a kid stood by the side of the road, and they've got out and they've gone to have a look and found nothing. And then after waving the camera around for a bit, they may have seen a little something in the background. What doesn't really exist from this is anyone who has had an encounter where they've invited the kids in. There was one that I read about, but it was so obviously creepypasta. And all that I've been able to find, they say that if you do invite one of these kids in, or you accept their requests and help them out, they will befall you with a curse or some great evil in the near future. But this one story that I did read where this woman invited them in, the short version is they came in, they were asking to use the bathroom, and you know, they did. They came back, sat down, they looked up, black-eyed kids. And they kept on saying, don't worry, our parents will be here soon, because it was like 2 a.m. or something.
Right.
And then they walked off down the hall and stopped, and then turned around and said, our parents are here. And they went and opened the door, looked out, and there was apparently two large men dressed entirely in black from head to toe, wearing a good old-fashioned fedora, and the kids went over to them. So it sort of conjures up images of the old men in black as well.
Yeah, well, that's interesting, because there's different beliefs on what people actually think they are. Like, some people are like, oh, they're aliens, they're extraterrestrial. Some people say that demonic beings, some people think they're ghosts. There isn't really an agreed sort of idea of what their origins are.
Yeah.
So it's interesting that one chose to go the alien route.
There was one other little thing I wrote as well about someone who claimed to have helped them. There's no background on what it is. They just entitled their little post survival story. And all they said was, I helped them once, never ever under any circumstances do it. I'm not sure what they do, but it feels as if they're ripping your soul out. They get really close to you and you get amazingly drowsy. If it weren't for my girlfriend showing up mid-invasion and kicking them out, I would probably be dead. I didn't even see the eyes until I let them in. They're getting smarter.
I wonder if these people believe it themselves, and if they do, it makes me feel kind of sorry for them.
Yeah,
because some people who say this stuff, it's like, I'm like, you really believe, like, you can tell when they're telling you, I'm like, you really believe what you're telling me?
Yeah,
like, this is tragic. I've got one more story here. So I was just searching around Google, black-eyed kids stories, black-eyed kids experience, and it linked me to the Hatchet Book Group.
Okay.
Which I guess is like a publishing house or something. But for some reason on their page, there's just a page like hatchetbookgroup.com/mybLackEyedKidsEncounter. Like, there's no link to this from a book. It's just a weird page amongst this. And I couldn't find a link to it from just the Hatchet Book Group's website. It was just to this page specifically from Google. And I can't find a link to Hatchet Book Group and Black Eyed Kids. It's just this weird subpage. So in itself, this story is almost like a bit of a creepypasta. But it's My Black Eyed Kid Encounter by Jake. And so I'll just read this. I've got a little story of my own here, well, from Jake. So it just says, don't go looking for black eyed kids. This story comes to us from Jake. He didn't want to be identified any further. So, black-eyed kids, the mere idea of them terrifies me. It didn't used to. In fact, I didn't understand what the big deal was. I don't know why. I mean, I read the online stories and articles about black-eyed kids just like everyone else, but I just didn't have the visceral reaction that so many other people did when reading about them. So I embarked on a quest. I would show people just how unscary these things were, whatever they were. Who knew if black-eyed kids were even a real thing? I'm the kind of person who needs to see it for myself. I began doing a lot of research online. I looked at the paranormal sites, I watched scary videos on YouTube about black-eyed kids, and from everything I gathered, they found you. You didn't find them. And it seemed like it was a pretty much just by chance if they did find you. So what did I do? I came up with a plan. I began putting up an anonymous ad on Craigslist. It read, Black Eyed Kids, I am not afraid of you. I want to meet you. 9 p.m. Wednesday, the park bench on the corner of 3rd and Washington. Show me why I'm wrong and I should be afraid.
That's interesting, because I'd actually heard that Black Eyed Kids frequent Craigslist.
Yeah, it's an odd idea.
Sorry, carry on.
So, yeah. The bench was only like a block from my apartment, so every Wednesday I would walk down there and see if anyone or anything came by. I usually wouldn't sit there. I'd stand back and watch. I'm not stupid.
Well,
I may not be afraid for Black Eyed Kids, but I know the internet can attract some nuts. And it did. Occasionally. Nothing exciting enough to write about, though. A couple of pervs and some teenage kids joking around. So this went on for 6 months and I stopped posting the ad. The week I stopped, I got a knock on my door. I was sitting on my couch and it was a little after 9 p.m. I don't know how to explain it, but the second I heard that knock, my skin went ice cold. Ice cold. I didn't need to get up. I knew who it was. And much to my surprise, I was terrified already. I was wrong about not being afraid of Black Eyed Kids. The fear is on a different level, an instinctual, primal level. But still, I managed to get up and open the door, and yep, there it was, a kid about 9 years old, olive skin, dark hair, solid black eyes, staring up at me. "Can I come in?" he said. I was speechless. After what seemed like an eternity, I responded with a no and began closing the door. "We missed you at the park tonight," the boy said. I stopped closing the door. I looked at him, my mind racing. "They've been watching me." The boy smiled up at me. It took everything I had to make my arm move again, pushing the door closed and locking it. As soon as I shut the door, I gasped for air. I hadn't been breathing. I sat back against my wall, facing the door. Knock, knock, knock. He was still there. I waited. Nothing. It took me at least an hour to move from that spot, staring at the door. I didn't sleep that night or the next night. Eventually, I collapsed with exhaustion at my desk at work, only to be awakened minutes later by a nightmare memory of that boy. It's been 6 months. I can't explain the fear that washes over your body when you see the eyes on these kids, and the state of your mind, the way your body wants to listen to what they're telling you, and what they're asking. I thought if I told you my story, it would help me get over what happened and warn others. I'm positive these kids are evil, and the people they meet who can't resist whatever power they wield. I don't think we will ever hear from those people. I now avoid that corner park bench with everything I have and don't tell anyone why. People think I'm crazy sometimes, walking 3 blocks out of my way just to make sure I don't go near it. But you'd be the same way if you went through what I did. Black Eyed Kids are nothing to mess with.
Ooh.
So, yeah, just the origin of where I found that one I found kind of weird. I don't know if it's like a book they published and that's an extract of one of the stories from it. I couldn't link that, but it was just weird that that one cropped up on there.
Yeah, it's a bit odd. I've just actually fired up the site myself and I'm having a look, and I can see that if you take the URL back one level to it's mm-hmm. like /category/sunshinegirl, it appears to be other write-ups, I think. I'm not sure. Let me have a look.
I'm doing that now.
Yeah, it does seem to be write-ups of
a ghost encounter
stories. Yeah.
Yeah, the woodcutter, black
this one seems like
encounter.
A classic vampire.
That sounds great.
I'm stealing that from D&D campaign. That's amazing.
Okay, so it's a mixture of like apparently true accounts of things and fictional ghost stories and stuff.
I think so, yeah. But an interesting story. Yeah, and it's kind of out of place as well. And the picture that's there is kind of freaky as well. But yeah, it once again falls into that category of it's obviously quite well written. It is quite clearly a creepy pasta, but a good story.
And it's trying to lure you in, like the way it's written is trying to get you to go along with the ride.
Yeah, it's just a bit weird though, the Craigslist thing. Like, there's just a room full of black-eyed kids going, "Oh, look what I found!"
Finally,
Dave, do you want to go down there next week? Yeah, I'll watch him. It's weird.
Let's watch him for the next 6 months. So like I said, I think of all the ones that we've done so far, this is the one where I'm like, this is just a bit of fun. This is, I think, nonsense.
Yeah, I agree.
And normally we go through like, what could these things be? I think the only answer is like, these things are stories, is what they could be.
Yes.
Although Brian Bethel himself is still adamant that it's true, and they are true.
Well, you know, all I say to listeners is if you've got a Ring doorbell, keep an eye on your video logs. If you get a knock on the door late at night, march out there with your phone recording ready to go. Send us the evidence.
Yeah, any evidence, please. This is the first point of call.
Mm. Yeah, not the Daily Star, please.
No. Right, so I think we're done, unless you have anything more.
That's about all I've got to say.
Excellent. And if you do want to get in contact with us to suggest any future episodes of Weird Tales Revisited or for anything else, especially for, I've said about this on the last episode, but at the end of the year, the last episode of this year will be episode 150, and we want to have a big old Q&A. So any listeners, if you've got questions for us, it could be about anything, about the show, about us, about anything at all. So send those and revisit suggestions and anything else. Say hi, Pets of the Week, all that stuff. It's unexplainableuk@mail.com or go to weirdtalesandtheunexplainable.com. On that website, you can also find ways to follow us on social medias. You can buy merchandise via our TeePublic store. You can support us monetarily. You can support my time editing this as well as my other podcasts at patreon.com/bobshoy. And you can go to bobshoy.bandcamp.com, where you can buy bonus episodes of Weird Tales Revisited. There's some really good ones on there, as well as some other shows related to stuff I work on. If you want to see the other stuff I work on, go on bobshoy.com. All my shows are listed on there. My name is spelled B-O-B-S-H-O-Y, and that's also my Twitter handle for all that stuff, including my brand new podcast, which is now live. I think it's probably one or two episodes up already. Me and Emma talk about our favourite episodes of The Simpsons and things related to The Simpsons on a podcast called The Simpsons 4 and 1 More. So go and listen to that. It's a lot of fun. So thanks again for joining me on a revisited, Rick.
Always a pleasure.
I don't know what we'll be doing next time, but it'll be fun and maybe more credible than this one.
Here's hoping.
Hoping. I think I've got an idea for the next one. I won't spoil it. I've got an idea for what we'll do next. I think it'll be a good one.
Excellent. Look forward to it, mate, as always.
So thanks, Rick, for joining us, and thanks for listening, everyone. If all goes well, next week you'll have an extra Weird Tales Halloween episode. If all goes well, we are like not sure that this thing's even happening because of different gathering restrictions due to COVID lockdown stuff at the moment happening in the UK. If it goes ahead and it will only be six of us, it won't be the big gathering we originally planned because we're not allowed to meet with more than six people in the UK anymore. So potentially next week, you're going to have a socially distanced six-person Halloween campfire. <Ooh. laughs> But if it doesn't appear in your feed, I live in Leeds, which is particularly like strict on lockdown stuff at the moment. So it all depends on whether I'm allowed out of my city next week or not. So maybe, or if not, we'll be back in December. Just giving you a warning. So thanks for listening. And thanks again, Rick.
Thank you.
Bye, everyone. Love you lots.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.